Blog Talk Radio.
A very geeky show. The kind you listen to with mother.
Socially.
This is Deb Evans coming to you live from Texas, and I will tell you I was a bit surprised by the Social Geek Radio show song.
I gotcha.
Jack, what's
gotcha. I knew I'd get you. You weren't expecting the song, and
I thought,
you know what, let's bring back the song. It's starting to grow on me.
It took me by surprise. It's good that this is not a video podcast because I'm like, oh, man, what did I do? What did I hit? I didn't do it. So Jack Munson is playing tricks, so he's on the line. He's also in Texas tonight and get to
– yes.
There you go. So that's what – now, Texas is getting you back, and you got stuck with our traffic and a little bit of our nasty weather because you played that trick on me. So
yeah,
got
that,
you
that
too.
Could be, but – but yes, hi, Jack Munson here, Social Geek Radio folks. Glad to be with you once again, and glad to be in Texas, Deb. I'm in the what I think we consider ground zero for franchising, Waco, Texas, where all of a lot of great franchisors are based in Waco here. So,
Waco last week, so we need to coordinate our schedule so we can be in that area at the same time. But you're right, there's a lot of great franchises up there. So we had a wonderful Women in Franchising Network meeting in the Waco and was hosted by the Dwyer Group. So have a shout out to them and thank them for hosting that for us. It was great.
I'm thinking, you know, FranTech 2015 Waco. But maybe we can talk to our guest a little bit more about that in just a few minutes.
We could do that. So
I don't know if there's enough hotel space in Waco to coordinate.
Yeah, I don't think so. there's not much in Waco, but it is a lovely city and love going to visit. So we've got Alisa Harrison from IFA joining us, and she's been on Blog Talk Radio and Social Geek Radio with me before, but it's been quite a while. So how are you tonight in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's very, very warm. We've got Texas weather here, so it must have you guys must have sent the weather here in honor of our session tonight. But it's great. You know, Washington, you know, Congress is still inactive. They talk a lot, not doing too much, but certainly at the IFA, we've been busy, busy, busy. We've been working in the other Washington for the last couple of weeks.
Yes, you have. So what do we want to – why don't we catch up a little bit on Frantech, since that's been our topic of conversation for the last couple of weeks. Lisa, you probably have heard it, but all of our guests that have been on that attended Frantech had kudos to IFA and to the Technology and Marketing Committee for the work that they put together as for that event as well as GIFA. So I wanted to make sure that you heard that. So what's your overall take from the two events and, you know, on IFA's point of view?
I was just so excited. I mean, I think there's so much energy and so much momentum going here, not just because I think we had great programming and we had, you know, we tried to keep what people wanted, but we tried to add in, you know, some new components this year, certainly at Frantech. And then I think we even learned a lot. We got a lot of comments back from the guests about what they want, and that's what this is all about. It's becoming kind of the technology marketing community, and so it's very grassroots oriented. It's really something that, as you said, that the marketing and technology committee and the task force actually put together. And so I think that's a good thing because our members really know what other members want. So And certainly the partnership that we have with Google is, you know, continues to grow. I think I was able to be out to the GIFA event this year, learned so much. I mean, you know, these people deal with this every single day. They're changing the world as we know it. And I think there's such a great synergy and good partnership between what Google has to offer and other technology companies have to offer with the challenges that our members are having now. I mean, there's just such a thirst for this kind of knowledge to where I see Frantech continuing to grow, and our partnership with these technology companies continuing to grow as they start to learn more and more about franchising and the power of franchising. So I'm very enthusiastic. I can't wait for the next one. You know, as I said, I think what we learned loud and clear is do more of this, but let's add in some more of the hardcore technology. And as you guys know, cybersecurity is becoming more and more of an issue at the retail level. It's made headlines. Congress has decided that they're going to jump in and try to help businesses fix this. So we're working that in. But, you know, just knowledge. There's such a thirst for knowledge among our members on all things marketing and technology.
Any big plans for next year? Are we starting to look at parts of the country or cities or markets where we might want to do it next year?
Well, we're doing some due diligence. We, you know, certainly asked members what they thought, you know, where we should go. And I think, you know, one of the things that we're thinking about, and I would love to hear from listeners and people to contact us to see what people would think about Austin. It's certainly kind of a technology hub. It's some a little bit easy to get to, but certainly Denver and West Coast. I mean, we're looking at all the due diligence now, looking at places. We'll be working with the committee to kind of see what they think. The second thing is the time of the year. Do we want to continue to do it in the spring, or do we want to do it in the fall? And I think we have a terrific conferences department that knows how to look at all these components and talk with hotels and locations and, you know, potential venues and see just what might make the most sense. But I do think we have moved it around from city to city, and, you know, Jack and Deb, you guys know more about mm-hmm. this than I. I think we'll continue to maybe try move it around to give people in a particular region, you know, better opportunity maybe to attend. We did, when we had it in Denver this year, we did get a lot of people from the Denver, you know, Colorado region, like when we had it in Atlanta, a lot of people from the Southeast came in. So we do want to try to move it around, try to build the brand so that it once people know more about it and the word of mouth gets out there and shows like this where we're talking about it, we'll continue to increase the enthusiasm for it.
Yeah, I love the idea of Austin. That's a fantastic idea. I mean, of course, it's no Waco, but definitely a great place. I work with a few franchise systems that have had their annual franchisee meetings in Austin for a couple of years in a row now, and you know what a great city to have an event like that. So.
Yeah.
You know, that would be great, and it's good to hear that, you know, we're still considering moving it around and getting some people who, you know, I keep going back to this, too, the idea of getting some of these folks that don't IFA events, and they might not even typically go to marketing conferences or something like that, but, you know, the planets just aligned the right way, and maybe it was in a city close enough to them, and we got some... We got some new blood coming into to one of these events, so I say, you know, let's keep going.
Yeah,
I
think you know as we're starting to see at IFA, you guys are seeing it in your companies and with your clients. Marketing and technology are becoming, you know, so merged within any corporation. So one thing that we do want to focus on a little bit more is that, you know, Chief Technology Officer coming in and the CIO coming in. There was a great demand for that kind of information. And, you know, as you know, most CIOs today are a lot more knowledgeable about marketing. And, you know, it's all tied together because you have to have the infrastructure in order to be able to use these marketing technologies. So I think you'll see more of that trying to build some content for those CIOs out there. So I do think that's something that will be new as we go forward.
Excellent. And outside of FranTech, let's talk a little bit about the calendar and other events that IFA is hosting or being a part of throughout the rest of this year.
Yeah. Well, I think our next big event is going to be our Public Affairs Conference in Washington in September. And that, that's our essential, that's our fly-in, where we need to have as many feet on the ground marching up towards Capitol Hill and talking about the issues that are impacting the business environment for franchising. It could be healthcare, it could be minimum wage, it could be tax reform. But as everyone knows, our members are the best people to advocate on behalf of our industry. And so this is the premier advocacy event of the year, and that's something that we're really turning our efforts on. And then, of course, it's certainly not too early to be talking about convention next February in Las Vegas. We're already starting to market it. We hope to have early bird registration open up earlier this year in August. And it's certainly in the spirit of technology and social media and all the social media platforms that are out there for us, I think you're going to see more of our promotion of all of our events on those platforms, and certainly working with members, like you, Jack, and you, Deb, helping us, better use these tools to reach our members on some of this stuff. So, it's all kind of merging together with, using technology and marketing within IFA to promote these types of events.
And as far as promoting the events and people getting information on where and when it's happening and how do I register early and all of that stuff, is there one specific place you want to point everyone to? Is it at franchise.org, or do you have things sort of spread out amongst other sites and social channels?
Well, it's right now, certainly franchise.org is the mothership. FranSocial is certainly another avenue, which is our member-only community that we're using the tools that they give us to not only promote our events, but create that engagement before, during, and after the event. And so that's a new tool that we're still learning about. And as you know, since both of you are on our committee, we are in the process of kind of completely rebuilding franchise.org so that it kind of meets the technology standards of today, that it will be more mobile friendly, that it will give us the platform to use a lot of the tools that are out there to not only market our programs, but to communicate with provide information, whether it's advocacy, whether it's our CFE program, best practices, creating that interaction and that dialogue amongst the industry, whether it's franchisors, franchisees, whether it's CIOs, whether it's marketing professionals. So we're very, very excited about that. We'll probably officially launch it at our convention in Las Vegas, but if you want to see a sneak peek, you should come to our meetings in Washington in September during the Public Affairs Conference, and you might see what it looks like, yeah.
Oh, I'll be there.
Yeah, it's all on paper right now, so even for someone who's a non-technical person like me, I have to kind of visually, see is this what it's going to be. We're getting ready to bring in our web strategy subcommittee of the committee to kind of help give that member feedback, and then we'll certainly open it up to, a broader beta test. But we're very excited. I think it's going to give us so many more tools, not only for us to communicate with our members, but for members to communicate with each other, which is really what trade associations and industries are all about these days.
Excellent. So speaking about sharing information, educating the member base and consumers as well, we've got some pretty big issues happening out there in franchising right now, especially in Seattle, and now looks like coming soon to Chicago with the big battle over the minimum wage. What can you tell us about as far as an update on what's happening with that issue, and also where can people go to get sort of the latest news and read up on what exactly is happening in these places?
Sure. Well, I think, and let's start with Seattle. The Seattle City Council passed a minimum wage law, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And while we certainly don't support that particular level, that's really not what our opposition was about. Our opposition was the way that they were proposing to implement it. And they were saying that small businesses had 7 years in order to implement this new, you know, level, but that big businesses only had 3 years, and they categorized franchisees as big business because they were associated with a larger brand. And anyone who knows anything about the franchise model knows that that just flies in the face of what this very successful proven model has been, is all about. And so that's, we did file a lawsuit against the city of Seattle over that provision because it's unfair. And I think what we were trying to explain to people is that we're not asking for special treatment. We're just asking for equal treatment. And so now we're seeing the same situation appear in Chicago and even in New York. And every city, every state, based on their laws and their constitution, have the right to set what their minimum wage is if they can get it through. And that's not what we're opposing. We're making sure that if they do change that it's implemented across the board so that franchisees can fairly compete against non-franchise businesses in their category. So it's a big, big deal. We've gotten the attention of, the labor unions are very supportive of this. They've been after the franchise model for a while because they think that if they can redefine the franchise model, then they would be able to possibly be able to organize the employees of franchisees a little bit easier. And so there's a lot of different agendas going here that we're trying to battle on a lot of different fronts. But the bottom line is we're just asking for equal treatment under the law, and that's what it's all about. And I think
that's an important message to get out there that the IFA isn't talking about the minimum wage, the dollar amount, or the whole idea of the minimum wage. And I think that's what your opponents will probably try to, paint you into that corner, correct?
Right. And they are, and again, I mean, we do think that any changes in the minimum wage need to be, thoughtful, and we do think that the $15 level is, too high. But again, as you said, we can't go and debate this issue in every city council across the country. But what we have to do and what our mission is to protect, promote, and enhance franchising. And that's what our members have told us that they want us to spend our time and efforts on and, to protect that model, which allows people to own their own businesses, to realize the American dream, and has really created the jobs in this country. We're growing faster than the rest of the economy. And so why anyone would want to stop that momentum is really beyond us.
So the Seattle law as written, I just want to make sure I understand this. If I'm a franchisee in Seattle, and let's say I own a franchised pizza shop or a home industry, whatever the case is, and I have maybe it's me and two employees, I would be under the same rules as General Electric and IBM.
That's correct, because they're defining businesses that have fewer than 500 employees. And they're saying that because that franchise pizza chain, franchisee is part of a national brand that might has, thousands of employees, and they consider that a big business. So absolutely, you're exactly right, Jack.
Yeah.
That if that business, even if an independent, business across the street is the same pizza company and has 499 employees and you have 12, then you're considered a big business and they're considered a small business. And
wow.
I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a business. I'm not an economist. But if I can figure out that that's not fair, then, something's wrong.
Right. It's amazing to me how, typically consumers and customers of these businesses understand the franchise model better than the politicians do.
That's really the conversation that we're having with our. We just had our board meeting last week. We know that we're going to we've been on the defensive on this. We know that we have to be proactive. We know that we have a great story to tell, and we know that we can win this debate based on the merits of the issue. But we know that we had to put far more effort and energy into explaining what the franchise model is and what it isn't. And I think people will start to see that. And certainly, digital media, social media will be a big part of educating people what the franchise model is all about. So we'll be meeting with our board again next week, and I think we are prepared to ramp up a pretty aggressive, at least for us, education campaign. Now, we don't have the dollars that the labor unions do, but we feel like we have the arguments on our side. And when we've talked to the media and when we've talked to some politicians and try to explain this, we were able to explain in Maine and New Hampshire and some of these other states that we were battling. It's literally transferring our knowledge to them and helping them understand. It's not that hard of a concept to understand. It just takes a lot of time and effort to do that, and that's what we've been spending our time on really for the past year. Our activities all been at the state level, and then, of course, trying to make sure that they don't do anything at the federal level that will just, make it worse. So we've been busy. That's why we need all of our members, franchisees, franchisors, to get engaged in the debate in social media. Go to Seattle franchisefairness.com, go to franchise.org, go to FranSocial, go to our Facebook page, go to our Twitter page, and make your voices heard, because our strength is in our numbers. There's 825,000 franchise units out there. And this is the model is at stake, and so we just need to make our voices heard.
This speaks volumes to IFA's philosophy, or I guess trying to engage more with the franchisees and protect the franchisees. I know we as a membership, we'd love to see more franchisees involved in the conventions and the seminars and things that we go to. IFA, really, you really do stand behind not only the franchisors but the franchisees. You have a lot to do to support them, and as a former franchisee, I love it.
You're exactly right. A lot of people try to define us as just being a franchisor association, but we are the only organization that represents franchisors, franchisees, and all of those great companies that support us. It really is a unified industry, and we have put a lot more emphasis on reaching out to franchisees. They're very, very busy. They're running their businesses. They've got a lot of demands and a lot of meetings, a lot of places that people want them to be, but they are our best advocate for the franchise model. And so, when we come to Washington next year, the majority of the people that will be here will be franchisees going, and they're the constituents. They're the ones that are, creating the jobs in a particular member's district, and they're the ones that members of Congress want to talk to. And so it's just a great symbiotic relationship, not only within, a franchise company, but certainly within the International Franchise Association, as we all work together to try to protect the model. Because it is under attack, and people are using the franchise model as a way to raise money for cities and states that are underfunded, under budget, and for people who are trying to look at the model and see that it might just be a great way to maybe increase union membership. So, we're going to be there every day working the members have committed the time and resources to it. But we, at the end of the day, we think that we have the argument on our side, and we just have to get out there and tell it.
Excellent. So where should we send people who are listening right now who would like to add their voice to the conversation? Do we want to send them to Facebook? Do we want to send them directly to the specific site that you set up for the Seattle situation, or what should we?
Well, I hope that we're in every place that you want to be. Certainly, the SeattleFairness.com is specific to Seattle. It's got all the latest up-to-date information on there. There's an engagement you know, ability to make your voice heard there directly to the lawmakers. So we certainly need lawmakers to hear our voice. Going to franchise.org is right there on the front page. You can click on that and find out everything that you need to know. And obviously, if you're a Facebook person, go to the International Franchise Association Facebook right there. There's plenty of posts about this. If you prefer Twitter, we're there as well. And if you prefer LinkedIn, we're there. Or go to all three, or YouTube or Pinterest. We're trying to make this information available in the format that members want to receive it.
Great, great. So, yeah, everybody, don't just read it and lurk. Actually, jump in and put your two cents in as well. It's if there's a time for this organization and the membership to take a stand and make people listen to us and try to educate some of these folks on exactly what franchising is, this is the time. So we encourage everybody to jump out there and keep the discussion going. So.
And come to Washington in September.
Yes, yep. I have to tell you, Elisa, as a resident and voter of the great state of Illinois, I am really looking forward to some of the discussions with some of our fine representatives and senators from Illinois, and some of the we've got some great franchisees that have participated in the past that I hope will be there again this year to have some very passionate discussions with these folks in D.C.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be interesting. You guys watch the news, you see what's going on in Washington. It's all about, the midterm elections. But it's up to the grassroots, it's up to the citizens to make sure that their members of Congress are still doing the work of the constituents. And no one can say that better than our members, for sure.
Agreed. Well, very good. Jack, what else we've got like a minute and a half left that we can pick her brain. I think she's covered just about everything coming up.
I think we put her through the paces tonight, Deb. I don't know.
So.
She sounds like she's ready to keep going. So she's a
fighter.
Well, you know, I've been in Washington for going almost 30 years, and so the whole public affairs advocacy is in my blood. And when you see, you don't have to be a 30-year veteran to see when an injustice is being, and just stupid. Let's just call it what it is. It's just stupid policy. This is not how. This is not how we want our lawmakers to be messing, with the business model that has been so successful in creating jobs, creating economic output, and creating the opportunity for people to be in business for themselves but not by themselves. Why someone would want to penalize that is beyond me. I just don't know. So,
yeah
we're very passionate about
and
it.
Really,
we need all the help we can get.
For the past few years, the only thing that's creating very many jobs in this country.
Right. It's crazy. It's crazy talk, I tell you. I got to get outside the Beltway more so I can realize that, there are sane people out there. But right now, I'm not seeing a whole lot.
Well we appreciate
Texas,
the fighting.
Let me tell you.
The sane people, yes.
Having said that, I will end with this, that it's still the best system in the world, and we have a great democracy. And the fact that you're able to voice your opinion, however radical it is, and not get killed for it, it's just still the best system in the world. So we should take advantage of it. Make your voice heard.
Right. Absolutely. Very well said. Well, thanks so much, Elisa, for joining us tonight on Social Geek Radio. Deb, we'll be back again next week, and look forward to chatting with you then.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and everybody be safe. And again, thank you, Elisa, and we'll go to that Facebook page and that website and get that voice out there.
Please do. And thanks so much for having me tonight.
Absolutely. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.